Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. We head to the phone lines right now to be joined by a friend of the show, James Palmer. He is with The Athletic and Bleacher Report to talk about the 0-2 start for the Kansas City Chiefs. James, happy to have you back on the show.
It's been a minute, man. How you been?
Doing great, man. It's been a while since the Chiefs have had their backs up against the wall. This is the question that everybody is asking in Kansas City. Are you panicked by the 0-2 start?
I don't think you panic because of the head coach, because of the continuity, because of the quarterback. Do I think there's a feeling inside the building that is different than years past when they've had some moments where they need to figure things out? I definitely think that's true. If that makes sense. I think there is a different feeling, however slight it is, I don't think there's panic, that this is a little bit different than in years past where we need to figure something out, whether it's the slow start for the defense where they start off to, remember the season where they start off historically bad in yards per play and figure things out as the season went on. I do think some of the issues that are, of note are ones that they think they can correct, but I don't know if the confidence level is as high as it's been in the past about correcting some of them. And I think there's a key player in this, which is the rest of the division is much better. I mean, I think we do need to be clear. I don't take anything away from the Chiefs going to 7 straight AFC title games, and that's all they know in the Patrick Mahomes era. The rest of the division, for the vast majority of that, has not been very good. And now you have, and you saw last night, the Raiders are as tough as they come. The Chargers are legit. And I think Broncos were the team everybody was picking as the darling. It hasn't gone as well as they've, wanted to at the start of the season, but they're definitely better as well. So I think all of this plays a part in going, we're not panicking, but there are definite issues, and we're not sure if we're going to figure all of them out, but we'll probably get some of them. That puts us in a spot where we don't panic, but there's concern.
One issue that I've really been kind of beating the drum for on this show is I thought it was pretty clear this offseason that the Chiefs needed to make an improvement in the running back room, and the Chiefs were just very slow to make changes. They brought in Elijah Mitchell. He has been inactive for the first two games of the season. Breshard Smith, the 7th-round pick, he only has one carry. You're not getting any explosiveness for the run game. Patrick Mahomes is a dynamic quarterback. He shouldn't be leading quarterbacks in rush yards. That's just not the kind of style of quarterback that he is. I feel like their offense right now struggles to have an identity, and a large part of that is their offense feels so dependent on Pat to go be special when he just doesn't have those weapons on the outside that he's accustomed to.
Yeah, the first part of that is 100% true. I think we saw last night a Houston Texans team that just couldn't run the ball at all, right? And that's a credit to the Bucs too, but without Joe Mixon, it's not been the same run game there. And, it really hung C.J. Stroud out to dry. And it's hard to play one-dimensional when everybody knows that's the case. And Patrick's not just leading all quarterbacks in rushing. He's leading the Chiefs in rushing. He's led them in both games. And so Yeah, that's an aspect that you would think that, okay, is Isaiah Pacheco going to be back to the guy he was a couple of years ago prior to the injury? And we saw him, you know, run the rock and kind of help kind of demoralize defenses and wear them down physically a little bit. Like, that doesn't seem to be there right now. And so that's an aspect. And then the second part of what you said, I think, is really one of the biggest parts of what's going on with this team offensively. I think Pat feels like he has to do everything. And I think he feels like when he plays at his best, which was otherworldly, essentially, almost in game one, and it's not equating to wins. And that's when things start to get a little dicey. Like, you could then have a quarterback on your hands, and this has happened around the league, where they feel like they have to do everything, right? And they feel like they have to put the entire team on their back and do it themselves. And do they trust everything around them? I think these are all, you know, questions that we need that were relevant to ask about the situation. And I think Patrick's probably not at his best when he's feeling that way. And I think he probably, my educated guess is, he feels that way a little bit right now.
Right now, we're talking to James Palmer with The Athletic and also with Bleacher Report. This was a question that I think many people, myself, yourself included, asked this question. The AFC has been Kansas City, Baltimore, and Buffalo for the last 3 years or so, and we were waiting to see if there was going to be another team that entered the mix. It looks like the Chargers could potentially be in that conversation. Are you ready to put them there, or do you need to see more and we just need to let more time happen before we put the Chargers in the mix with those three teams?
Well, I think they're the team that everybody was curious, you know, were they going to be the ones to do it? I think there was a minute there everybody thought Houston was going to be that team. You know, they've gone through the divisional round each of the last two seasons. But that offensive line seems to be a real problem. I think the Chargers are the team that everybody's picking. I mentioned that I think before the season started, everybody was picking Denver. But when I look at Denver's, you know, skill position guys, that's not what the Chargers have. They got Chargers have a better group, and I think Bo Nix had a really, really good rookie season. This all hinges on Justin Herbert, and I think we were all wondering, like, if you bring up to league circles, Carrington, like, you talk to people around the league, it's who's the guy that you're just waiting to eventually put it all together and has the talent to get in that group of the top four, which the top four is what? It's Patrick, and it's Lamar, and it's Josh, and it's Joe. It's Justin Herbert. He's the unanimous really name, honestly, that everybody thinks he has all the tools to get into that group. It just hasn't come together. Well, now he has a head coach that believes he can be in that group. He has an offensive coordinator that believes he can be in that group. They've unleashed him in terms of running the football. He's healthy, which has not always been the case. He has some weapons around him. And it's a funny little, like, connection, but through the first 5 years of his career and through the first 5 years of Peyton Manning's career, they're the only two quarterbacks to throw for more than 125 touchdowns and not win a playoff game. In year six, Peyton Manning led the league in passing, won MVP, and won two postseason games, and it started to start rolling in Indianapolis. This is year six for Herbert. Does it start rolling for him? Like, there's enough evidence here with as good as this defense is as well. And the way that they've survived the Rashawn Slater injury, I think they're legit. And the scheduling anomaly that is, you know, is playing all three of your divisional opponents in the first 3 weeks, that just doesn't happen. If they beat Denver this week, I mean, they're in a really great spot in the AFC West. It's 3-0 in the division when you look at where everybody else is.
Right now, we're talking to James Palmer of The Athletic and Bleacher Report, going over some of the top stories in the NFL as the Chiefs get ready for Sunday Night Football coming up against the New York Giants. I want to talk about a national story that affects the Chiefs but also affects a lot of other teams in the league. I believe that Tyreek Hill is going to be traded at some point this season. It feels a lot like what happened last year with Davante Adams, where we all knew that he was going to be traded. We also knew what team he was going to be traded to. I think there's a lot of possibilities for Tyreek Hill. Kansas City makes some sense. I can see the Chargers really trying to go for it and make a move. San Francisco is a little bit light at wide receiver. Do you see it the same way? Are you hearing it the same way that you and I are going to be having a conversation in mid-October that Tyreek Hill plays for another team?
I would say our assumptions are correct. I would say it's not there yet. Because of two things. One, if they do that, it's essentially things have gotten even worse than a players-only meeting after week one, like it happened in Miami. It's that, you know, some people could be potentially losing their jobs, whether it's Mike McDaniel or it's Greer at the GM position. And so I think, obviously, they're not going to jump the gun on that, right? They're going to keep waiting to see if their season can be salvageable and to see if they can keep this thing going offensively with him and Waddle and Tua, and they can keep rolling. They held on to him this offseason for a reason, right? The talent is still there. They got rid of the other guys that are malcontents in that locker room, and they didn't get rid of Tyreek. So they're not going to jump at the beginning of the season, and these type of trades just don't happen in the first couple of weeks because of everything I listed with the Dolphins. And then on the other side, other teams just don't make trades like this early in the season on a player like this, because they're still figuring out their roster. Like, let's use Pittsburgh as a really good example. They've done some deals with Miami, right, in recent memory, and they've been looking to see if they have a complimentary number two wide receiver to DK Metcalf. Well, like, right now, early in the season, it looks like Calvin Austin might be that guy. Well, let's get a larger sample size to see if the guy's already on our roster to be the complement to DK Metcalf, and we don't have to make a trade. So teams are still early on evaluating what they have, and they don't want to jump the gun this early. That's kind of why, yes, by the trade deadline, this is a very realistic possibility in a lot of people's minds. Just right now, I don't think it's something that's probably feasible, but it's certainly something to watch. And I think the contract plays a little part in it. But there's another part that, like, you didn't bring up. Like, there's the off-the-field situation right now that's getting looked at by the NFL, and that's going to play a part in this as well.
James, I'm curious to get your thoughts on Philadelphia's tush push. It feels to me that Sunday's game was the turning point in all of this. I think there were a lot of people like me. If I was an owner, I would have voted to keep the tush push this offseason. A lot of it felt like sour grapes. A lot of it felt like, well, you guys can't run it as effectively. You guys can't stop it, so now you want to stop them from doing it. Watching them run it seven times on Sunday, I felt like the offensive line was pretty routinely lined up incorrectly. I think you saw multiple false starts that didn't get called. You hear Dean Blandino basically throw his hands up in the air and say, we can't officiate this play. It felt like Sunday's game was a major turning point for that play.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I think so. I think it was. And I'm with you. If every team is doing it on second every team's doing it on third and fourth down and they're converting it routinely, get rid of the play. But until another team becomes really good at it, I mean, we all saw it. I was standing on the sideline last year in the postseason when Josh Allen and company tried it, and they couldn't get it, and it cost them the game. And so I'm with you that I still believe it should be. I know it's not aesthetically pleasing, which is for some reason matters to some people. Now, in terms of the offensive line lining up incorrectly and there being false starts, that doesn't make the play illegal. That makes it an issue with the officiating crew that is not calling it properly, right? I mean, I think that's a more accurate spot. That doesn't mean the play is bad. It means they're not officiating it correctly. And Dean, it was interesting because I think that's why Sunday was a big deal. When you have a former head of officiating, and I know Dean, and he used to come talk to us at NFL Network and tell us everything that was going on. When he says on a broadcast with millions of people listening, I'm done with the tush push, like, that's a really big statement. It's really big. And I think we know where the league, where the commissioner stands on this. It's just not an ironic thing that the Green Bay Packers are the ones that, you know, that propose to have it banned, the one team without an acting owner. That's more than just a coincidence. And so I do think there's an agenda to get rid of it. I do think it's trending in that direction. Is it a very, very difficult to play to defend when the Eagles do it? Yes, it is. And so I just think it is trending that way, and I think Philadelphia running it 7 times against the Chiefs might be a little bit of the Eagles going, we're probably not going to have this play for after this year. We're going to run it to death. We're just going to keep running it because we may not have a chance to run it after this year. But I agree with you that I would vote against banning it as long as it's called correctly. That's the biggest thing. Call it right. If you think they false start and they're offsides, then call them on it. You know what I mean? I don't think that part should be in the equation of banning the play.
I want to get your opinions on this Tom Brady issue. I feel like we're only allowing this because it's Tom Brady. And I get it. He is the greatest quarterback of all time. He is still one of the faces of the league, even though he's not an active player. I just find it hard to believe that we would let any minority owner operate the way that he is being allowed to operate. The league talks so much about integrity and competitive balance between the teams, yet we are giving one team a tremendous competitive advantage solely based off who their minority owner is.
Yeah, I mean, I put this tweet out during the game, and it's got millions of impressions apparently on X, and rightfully so. Everybody has an opinion on it. I think a lot of fans, and this isn't dogging fans, this is just, I hope I can educate them a little bit, like, are uneducated on the matter. Most of the comments I saw, and there's hundreds of them on my tweet, is like, well, then just have the players and coaches not talk to him. That's easy. Why are we crying about this? Like, it's not an asset advantage. He's just a broadcaster. There's a lot of layers to this. Like, there really are. Like, I've been, you know, the sideline reporter for NFL Network broadcast games, right? I've been in those production meetings. They are really the last fully open and transparent type of meetings between the media and these coaches and these players that's left. And there is a lot of integrity and a lot of people I really, really respect, from Jim Nance to Tracy Wolfson to Evan Washburn to, you know, the list goes on, that they keep a lot of what's said in those meetings to themselves, because there's a lot of honesty in there. It's to help educate them on calling the game properly and knowing kind of what's going right and wrong for teams. And all of those people that work these games keep a lot of that to themselves, and it's off the record. Well, if you're saying those things to a person that is a minority owner of another team, they can go and use that information in a variety of ways. Now, a lot of people say what goes on in the meeting is just, you know, about the game plan for that specific week, so it doesn't really matter. No, you can find out what players are upset with the organization. You can find out what, you know, what players are maybe on the outs with the organization. It can give you an advantage possibly in free agency. It can give you an advantage in a lot of different ways in a league that is cloaked in secrecy. Like, you know, so many head coaches give very little information. And this is a place that information is given. And so I think there is a bit of an interesting dynamic here that the league is, you know, put themselves in all honesty. And if they didn't think it was a problem, why did they delete the tweet promoting it? Like, why did they take their own tweet down talking about Tom Brady being up there and having meetings with his own offensive staff? Like, so they must have some sense that it's an interesting, you know, conversation that needs to be had about ethics and where, you know, where conflict of interest can be. And you're also talking, and I love Tom, and I think he's the greatest player in the history of the league. He also has been accused and found guilty of cheating within the NFL. His organization has been found guilty of cheating within the NFL. And so I just find it very, very interesting that they're allowing this to happen. And I think the statement again today shows that this is a topic that's probably not going to go away. And I hope fans kind of know that, like, it's an interesting, you're putting a lot of players and coaches in interesting spots during those meetings. And they're talking to Tom Brady too. And there's a lot of players talking to Tom Brady that respect the hell out of him. They might say more than they're supposed to. And I think Tom's going to file that away.
Last thing, James, and we appreciate your time as always. We have seen 2 weeks of the NFL. Is there a team that you've been surprised at their start and they really impressed you? You like how they've looked? I guess outside of Kansas City, because they're 0-2, has there been a team that has disappointed you? A team that you're surprised at how slow of a start or how disappointing they've looked so far this season?
Yeah, I'd say the surprise team out to a really good start is definitely Indianapolis. I mean, nobody thought this was going to happen. And, I mean, their punter has not participated in the NFL yet. We're approaching week three. He hasn't punted a football. I mean, I guess he's the holder, but he hasn't punted a football in two games. I mean, we didn't see this from Daniel Jones, but I do think that's a better team than maybe some people expected, and now they're exceeding expectations. And I think Shane Steichen's actually a pretty good play caller, and he found a guy that can operate it the way that he wants to be operated, and they can very much win that division because of the other team I'm looking at is Houston being 0-2. Like, that's supposed to be one of the best defenses in football. And that is a really, really talented group of skill guys, from Nico Collins to the two rookies to, you know, they'll get Christian Kirk back this week, and they've been without him, but you have a good tight end. Like, I thought, you know, this could be a team if they get the offensive line figured out and they change play callers because they thought that would fix some things, that they're sitting at 0-2. I think those are the two that kind of stand out to me about being the ones that have surprised me in either direction. And then just real quick, I'll just say, like, Green Bay is seriously for real. Like, seriously, seriously for real. Like, that defense is about as fast as we can see in the NFL. Jordan Love has all the weapons in the world, a complex, creative running game. Like, the Packers, I think, are a real, 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 real threat to come out of the NFC now. But those are the three kind of takeaways I have through the first 2 weeks.
That is James Palmer of The Athletic, also Bleacher Report, friend of the show. We like to check in with him periodically and get an update on what is happening in the National Football League. The Chiefs are currently 0-2. It feels very weird to say that the Chiefs have a must-win game in Week 3 on the road against the New York Giants. I'm with you, James. I haven't pressed that panic button yet for the Chiefs. But if you and I talk next week and they are 0-3 and they have to beat Baltimore at home, I will have pressed the panic button at that point.
I think it's fair. I think the one thing, really quick, I'll say this: you just want to make sure Patrick keeps things on the tracks and he doesn't like overextend himself trying to do everything before like Rashee Rice comes back. You know what I mean? Before he gets Xavier Worthy fully healthy. Like, I think that's what everybody in Chiefs country is waiting for, or Chiefs kingdom, sorry, is waiting for. But I just think, you know, they have to win this game, and I think winning by double digits is kind of important, honestly.
That is James Palmer joining us on the show. James, we appreciate you.
Always, brother. Always.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.